from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Indonesia. From Indonesia to the
world. Listener, here is the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo inaugurates 24 sections of regional roads of presidential instruction in Aceh province. All ministerial candidates capable, says Indonesian President-elect Prabowo. I am Ahmad Faisal. Now the news in details. Indonesian President Joko Widodo inaugurated the implementation of presidential instruction of regional roads as total as 24 sections for 196 kilometers in Aceh province to improve connectivity and mobility in the region. President Joko Widodo, in the inauguration of the presidential instruction in Aceh province, Aceh Besar, as in the broadcast of the YouTube account of the presidential secretariat witness in Jakarta on Tuesday, affirmed that roads and bridges are very important for connectivity among regions, cities, and provinces, both for the mobility of people and goods.
Dan hari ini akan kita resmikan 24 ruas jalan sepanjang 190.
Today we inaugurated 24 roads with a length of 196 kilometers and also a bridge with a length of 60 meters, which cost 686 billion rupiah. We hope that with the construction and repair of these roads, the mobility of people, the mobility of goods, the speed of logistic distribution in Aceh province will be better.
Mobilitas orang, mobilitas barang, kecepatan distribusi logistik di provinsi Aceh akan lebih baik.
Moreover, President Joko Widodo further has also explained that damaged roads will hamper logistics mobility, which ultimately affects the high prices at the community level as consumers. Therefore, in 2023, the president issued a presidential instruction on regional roads in order to build roads and repair damaged roads and bridges. The president also explained the construction and repair of roads and bridges spread across 14 districts of Aceh province, including in East Aceh, Biren, Simele, Aceh Besar, Pidi, Pidijaya, Langsa, North Aceh, Aceh Tamiang, Gayo Lues, and Bener Meriah. President-elect Prabowo Subianto has assured that all the ministerial, deputy ministerial, and agency head candidates he summoned to his Jakarta residence on Monday are capable of carrying out their duties well in the next cabinet. He said that he has been monitoring the ministerial candidates for quite some time, holding discussions with them and expressing his wish to make them ministers, deputy ministers, and agency heads. He has also pointed out that all of them have stated their willingness. Main expert of tourism and creative economy of the Indonesian Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy, Nia Niscaya, in a press briefing in Jakarta on Monday, stated that tourism and creative economy is a sector that contributes greatly to the labor absorption. Nia revealed that based on data from the Central Statistics Agency, or BPS, in 2023, 24.4 million workers are absorbed in the tourism sector, or 17.45% of Indonesia's total workforce, while 24.9 million workers are absorbed in the creative economy sector, or 17.82% of Indonesia's total workforce. Mia also appreciates the high achievement of the average growth rate of Indonesia's tourism and creative economy workforce, which is 3 times the rate of the national workforce growth.
Dan bagaimana kita lihat laju pertumbuhan.
How do we look at the average growth rate of the workforce in the 2019-2023 period? We see that the creative economy's growth rate is 4.84% and tourism is 3.85%. This is actually almost 3 times the growth of the national workforce, which is 1.72%. Can you upload the growth of the creative and creative sector workforce?
Moreover, Nia Nisaya further explained that to develop human resources in the field of tourism and creative economy, the ministry has facilitated 63,412 actors with their human resource competence certification. Nia revealed that the training and certification provided has a positive impact on the ministry's human resources, such as increasing income, careers, knowledge, insight, and experience. Main expert of tourism and creative economy of the Indonesian Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy, Nia Nisaya, in a press briefing in Jakarta on Monday, revealed that the Indonesian Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy appreciates the enactment of the Presidential Regulation No. 95, year 2024. Nia Nisaya explained that in the regulation, visa-free visits are applied to 13 countries and permanent residents of Singapore. According to Nia, the visa-free visits are granted because Singapore is considered as the closest neighbor to Indonesia, has easy access, and serve as a financial city.
Because Singapore is actually its closest overseas neighbor and has access to much of the Riau Island, talking about access destination is one component and is also based on data from flights, 70% of which go to Indonesia via transit. Singapore is something that as a country also has a lot of tourists and a lot of homework because it is a financial city or a financial country too, so access is also very easy.
Kemudian juga aksesnya begitu mudah.
On the same occasion, representative of the Directorate of Immigration Traffic, Anggit Suhandono, explained that the criteria for foreigners holding Singapore permanent residence who can take advantage of this visa-free visit facility, among others, have status as permanent residents of Singapore, holders of a blue Singapore National Registration Identity Card, and are not citizens of calling visa countries. Anggit further conveyed that Singapore permanent residents who obtained a visa-free visit for 4 days are not allowed to leave the Riau Islands because they are required to enter and exit the Riau Islands. Let's come to the international news. Global leaders are drafting an ambitious climate finance deal to be finalized at the 29th Conference of the Parties, or COP29, as Azerbaijan's presidency leads effort to resolve critical gaps ahead of the November summit. As quoted by ArabNews.com, a draft negotiating text will be published imminently, following a series of high-level meetings in Baku last week, according to the COP29 presidency team. It outlines a plan that could mobilize trillions of dollars in support for developing nations. Central to the talks was the new Collective Quantified Goal, or NCQG, on climate finance, which aims to replace the existing $100 billion pledge that has long been deemed insufficient. Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau accused India on Monday of making a fundamental error as an escalating row over the killing of a Sikh separatist on Canadian soil last year, so both countries expel each other's ambassadors. Trudeau has previously said there were credible allegations linking Indian intelligence services to the killing. Both countries have traded barbs since then, culminating with the expulsions on Monday of each other's ambassadors and 5 other top diplomats in both countries. Vietnamese Prime Minister Pham Minh Chinh hosted a reception in Hanoi on Monday for visiting Governor of Gunma, Prefecture Yamamoto, Ichitiha, and a delegation of 25 Gunma businesses. As quoted by VOV World.vn, Vietnam stands ready to facilitate the investment and operation of Gunma enterprises, Chin said, urging the prefecture to encourage its firms to invest more in Vietnam in such areas. He also suggested stronger cooperation in high-quality personal training, education, culture, and cultural industries, people-to-people exchange, and connectivity between universities, calling on Gunma to receive more Vietnamese interns and workers. The Prime Minister called for enhanced collaboration and the sharing of experience in restructuring the economy in a more sustainable fashion and promoting digital transformation, green transition, circular economy, and sharing economy. Well, listener, that's Newsline. Listener, today's commentary highlights guessing Prabowo-Gibran cabinet lineup. The inauguration of Prabowo Subianto and Gibran Rakabuming Raka as Indonesia's president and vice president for the 2024-2029 term is just a few days ahead. After the inauguration, Indonesians are naturally eager to learn which ministers will be chosen to assist the newly elected leaders over the next 5 years. Selecting ministerial candidates is no easy task. There are many considerations to ensure that each candidate is not only capable but also integrated to carry out their duties effectively. The names of those who will serve in the Prabowo-Gibran cabinet are gradually coming to light. Although the official inauguration is set for October 20th, President-elect Prabowo Subianto has already begun to prepare his cabinet. This was evident on Monday afternoon, October 14, 2024, when several figures believed to be potential ministerial candidates arrived at his private residence in Jakarta. Prabowo summoned these individuals to personally convey their assignments and provide directions. By Monday evening, a total of 49 figures, referred to as prospective ministers, had been invited to meet with President-elect Prabowo Subianto. These figures include politicians from various political parties, academicians, and ministers from the administration of President Joko Widodo. Prabowo's process of selecting his future cabinet members is a prerogative right of the president. Of course, he doesn't extend invitations lightly. He has already conducted thorough research, monitoring, and discussions before inviting each of the potential ministers. The Indonesian public hope that those chosen to sit in the Prabowo-Gibran cabinet will be highly qualified individuals, capable and committed to advancing the nation's progress. While the Indonesian people may already have some guesses about the potential members of the Prabowo-Gibran cabinet, the final list of names and positions will only be revealed after the inauguration ceremony of the President and Vice President at the House of Representatives of the Republic of Indonesia building in Jakarta on October 20, 2024. Will there be surprises in the composition of the Prabowo-Gibran cabinet? Let's wait and see. That's the commentary read by Ahmad Faisal.
Aku pendukungmu, patriot proklamasi. This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with an event on October 15, 1998 about the National Commission on Violence Against Women was established. The National Commission on Violence Against Women, or Komnas Perempuan, is an independent state institution in Indonesia that was established as a national mechanism to eliminate violence against women. Komnas Perempuan was established on October 15, 1998. It was born from the demands of civil society, especially women, to the government to realize the state's responsibility in responding to and dealing with issues of violence against women. The claim stems from the tragedy of sexual violence experienced by mainly ethnic Chinese women in the May 1998 riots in various major cities in Indonesia. Now we move to the next event on October 15, 2008, when Global Handwashing Day with Soap was celebrated for the first time. Global Handwashing Day is observed every October 15. It was initiated by the Public-Private Partnership of Handwashing in 2008. Since then, the public and the government have used the commemoration of World Handwashing with Soap Day to raise awareness and understanding of the importance of washing hands with soap as an easy, effective, and affordable way to prevent disease. We end the program with an event on October 15, 2013 about an earthquake of magnitude 7.2 rock the central Visayas region of the Philippines. As earthquake occurred on October 15, 2013 in Bohol, an island province located in central Visayas, the Philippines. The 7.2 magnitude earthquake recorded the death toll reaching more than 200 people, 8 people missing, and more than 900 others injured. Meanwhile, according to the female UN coordinator for earthquake response, Luisa Carvalho, there are around 35,000 families who need shelter in Bohol. Well, listener, that was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Today's My Indonesia is on Government Issues Mandatory Industrial Product Standardization. Indonesian Ministry of Industry has issued 16 ministerial regulations on the mandatory enforcement of industrial standardization. These regulations govern the process of conformity assessment, covering proper audits and testing. Minister of Industry Agus Kartasasmita revealed this during virtual speech at the inauguration of the Indonesia Manufacturing Center and the launch of the 16 regulations on Monday, October 14th. Industry Minister Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita said that Indonesia currently has more than 5,300 Indonesian National Standards, or SNI, in the industrial sector, covering various sectors and product types. 30 of them have been mandated by the Ministry of Industry, particularly for products that significantly impact safety, security, health, and the environment. According to the minister, this is an important tool to ensure that the products produced by the industry meet the set standards.
Peraturan ini juga mengatur proses sertifikasi.
This regulation also governs the certification process and the approval for using the SNI mark, which is managed through SIINES, making the process more efficient, transparent, and encouraging regulatory compliance. SIINES, or SINAS, the National Industrial Information System, is a digital platform designed to support and improve the management of data and information related to industry at the national level. Minister Agus Kartasasmita added that to support the implementation of these 16 regulations, the Ministry of Industry has appointed conformity assessment bodies, which play an important role in ensuring that products circulating in the market meet the applicable standards, providing quality assurance to consumers. These bodies consist of 20 product certification bodies and 28 testing laboratories that are ready to conduct product certification and testing. On the same occasion, the head of the Agency for Standardization Industrial Services Policy, Andi Rizaldi, stated that the 16 new regulations cover various industrial products, such as pre-stressed steel wire, calcium carbide, valves, and many others. One of the new regulations requires foreign manufacturers to have official representatives in Indonesia who will be fully responsible for the products made by foreign manufacturers. Additionally, imported products must first be stored in a warehouse located in the same place as the official representative. This regulation aims to facilitate oversight before products circulate in Indonesia. Andi Rizaldi emphasized that all regulations launched are efforts to build a strong standardization ecosystem, enabling Indonesian industries to improve product quality, drive innovation and efficiency, ultimately enhancing the competitiveness of industries in both domestic and global markets. That was My Indonesia.
Dan aku resah. darimu. Mungkin butuh khusus merangkai kata untuk bicara. Karena ku hanya diam dan membeso, ingin ku make diriku sendiri yang tak berkutik di depanmu. Ada yang tak bergerak, ada pelangi di bola matamu dan memaksa diri untuk bilang aku sayang padamu. Aku sayang padamu.
Of Indonesia.
Listener, the National Sports Week, or PON, is the largest sports competition in Indonesia. This year, the 21st PON is being held in Aceh and North Sumatra from September 9 to the 20. Taking place in Aceh, which is famously known as the Veranda of Mecca, it's best not only watch the sports competition, but also explore the beauty of this region. One of the most visited destinations is Blangkolam Waterfall. Located deep within a forest, Blangkolam Waterfall offers cool and refreshing air, which is perfect to escape the heat. However, reaching it takes some effort, as you'll need to descend about 600 steps from the entrance. It may feel exhausting, but your weariness will come off as you witness the beauty of the 75-meter-high waterfall. The best way to enjoy Blangkolam is to dip and swim in its waters. Once you're done playing in the water, you won't need to worry. You can rinse yourself off right at their on-site bathrooms. If you prefer a more relaxed experience, you can have a picnic under the shady trees in this area. Just bring your own food, lay out a mat, and enjoy a peaceful afternoon. Listener, this waterfall is called Blangkolam because its shape resembles a giant pond with water pouring off the cliff. If you're interested in visiting this magnificent waterfall, Blangkolam is located in Sidomulyo Village, North Aceh Regency. You have to travel around 30 kilometers from the city center of North Aceh. You can reach it by private vehicles or public transportation. The entrance ticket is 5,000 rupiah, or less than $0.50 per pax. Well, listener, that's today's Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republik Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, which uses Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in Indonesian language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology. Today's topic is
Di Bandara Iskandar, Pangkalan Bun. Di Bandara Iskandar, Pangkalan Bun,
which means at Iskandar Airport, Pangkalan Bun. You will listen to a conversation about
barang bawaan saya hanya sedikit. Barang bawaan saya hanya sedikit,
which means I don't have much luggage. The conversation is between Chris, a vlogger from Australia, and Naomi, a tour guide at Pangkalan Bun, West Kota Waringin Regency. Chris told Naomi about how much luggage he carried. Let's listen to the conversations.
Selamat siang, Naomi ya?
Iya Pak Chris, saya Naomi. Selamat datang di Pangkalan Bun. Apakah perlu bantuan porter untuk membawa barang?
Oh tidak, terima kasih. Saya hanya membawa sedikit barang.
After listening to the conversations, I will introduce you to some vocabulary and expressions related to today's topic.
Barang bawaan saya hanya sedikit. Barang bawaan saya hanya sedikit,
which means I don't have much luggage. I'm going to say each word 2 times, and please repeat after me.
Hanya. Hanya,
which means only.
Membawa. Membawa,
which means bring.
Sedikit. Sedikit,
which means not much.
Barang. Barang,
which means luggage.
Saya hanya membawa sedikit barang. Saya hanya membawa sedikit barang,
which means I don't bring much luggage.
Selamat siang. Selamat siang,
which means good afternoon.
Selamat datang. Selamat datang,
which means welcome.
Di Pangkalan Bun. Di Pangkalan Bun,
which means at Pangkalan Bun.
Perlu. Perlu,
which means need.
Bantuan. Bantuan,
which means help.
Porter. Porter,
which means porter. In the conversations, you hear the sentence,
barang bawaan saya hanya sedikit. Barang bawaan saya hanya sedikit,
which means I don't have much luggage. The phrase
sedikit, sedikit,
which means not much, in the conversations marks the amount of
barang, barang,
which means luggage. The word
sedikit, sedikit,
which means not much, in the conversations tells that Chris doesn't bring much luggage. Here are other examples. Let's listen to some other examples using expressions.
Sedikit. Sedikit.
Which means not much.
Maaf, saya hanya punya sedikit uang. Maaf, saya hanya punya sedikit uang.
Which means sorry, I don't have much.
Hotel itu hanya menyediakan sedikit menu untuk sarapan. Hotel itu hanya menyediakan sedikit menu untuk sarapan.
Which means the hotel doesn't have much choice for breakfast. For your information, Pangkalan Bun is the capital city of West Kota Waringin Regency, Central Kalimantan Province. Pangkalan Bun is the gateway to some important objects in the Central Kalimantan, such as Tanjung Puting National Park as the Orang Utan Rehab and Tanjung Kaluang as Sea Turtle Conservation. Before we end today's Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's have another go with the conversations.
Selamat siang, Naomi ya?
Iya Pak Kris, saya Naomi. Selamat datang di Pangkalan Bun. Apakah perlu bantuan porter untuk membawa barang?
Oh tidak, terima kasih. Saya hanya membawa sedikit barang.
Listeners, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today about
barang bawaan saya hanya sedikit. Barang bawaan saya hanya sedikit.
Which means I don't have much luggage. We hope today's edition will be useful for you who want to know more about the Indonesian language. I'm Daniel and my colleague
Rano.
Sampai jumpa.
Kau lah curahan hatiku.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's music corner presents a Malay song entitled Kepahiang Bengkulu by Novia Ambarningrum and Andy Pohan. The song is typical Bengkulu Malay song, and according to the title, Kepahiang is one of the cities in Bengkulu. The lyrics invite everyone to sing through Malay rhymes. Another story from Kepahiang Bengkulu is about a man's desire to a woman that unfortunately the woman already owns someone else. Well, listener, here is the song Kepahiang Bengkulu by Novia Ambarningrum and Andy Pohan. Happy listening!